Ho, ho, ho! A very Merry Christmas to one and all! Welcome to the James Whale Radio Show, universal, all over the world. And as I go about my business delivering presents for the little boys and girls, I always listen to the James Whale Radio Show every Christmas. This is no exception. And he said that if I was a very good Santa Claus, I could say, roll the titles.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Santa. Yes, it is the James Whale Radio Show, Christmas edition. Robbo, how are you?
I'm fine. Was that Santa, was it?
Well, who the hell do you think it was? Of course it was Santa.
It sounded like some old man about to leave the planet Earth.
What? What do you mean?
Sorry?
That was probably one of the best Santa Claus impressions done by a very famous actor, specially for the programme.
Available for everything but weddings.
Yes, absolutely. Goodness sake. I'm not a huge fan of Christmas. Don't start having a go at me right at the beginning, otherwise I'm going to say no Christmas program.
Why are we doing a Christmas show if you're not a fan of Christmas?
Well, we're not. This is just, we've got to do a show, and it's Christmas week.
Oh, you're forced to doing it then.
Well, I mean, I'm working all over Christmas on BBC Radio Berkshire, because Tony Blackburn couldn't be bothered to work at Christmas, so I'm doing all his shows. I think I might be doing Anne Diamond's shows. I might be Anne Diamond. I'm not sure whether I'm Tony Blackburn or Anne Diamond.
Right, well, do both.
Well, I might do, but because I'm not actually that bothered about Christmas, I'm on the air between 10 o'clock in the morning and 1 o'clock every day, including Christmas Day.
Do you get paid double time?
I'm not prepared to say.
That's a yes, then.
Not prepared to say at all. But let's put it this way. 2013 has been an interesting year for me, one that I've come to the reality of knowing I'm not going to retire. So I start a new job, as you know, with the BBC in the new year. And, of course, we'll continue with this very, very fine show across the entire galaxy. But I haven't worked a lot over the last year, so I have to work, don't I? I have to do something.
So what's Christmas like at the Whale House, then? Have you got a tree and everything?
No.
No tree?
No tree. Hey, I just had a great idea. Why don't you do a little interview with me?
Okay.
Right, no tree, no.
No tree. Christmas dinner. What are you having for Christmas dinner? Or is it just dinner?
We'll have Christmas evening meal, probably, because I'm working.
Right.
But this year, I must talk to Tony Tobin about it as well. This year, I thought we'd have pork.
Pork.
Yeah, we'd have pork. I like pork. Pork is quite traditional. We do celebrate the end of the year, and we look at it, and we sit around, and there's not going to be many of us around for Christmas because the family are... in fact, most of the family are working this Christmas. So we will have a meal together, Mrs. W and I, and maybe the kids will pop over and see us. Who knows?
Did you get them anything?
I probably got them a little something. I always send my grandchildren... because I was a very young father, of course, I always send them something.
And do they get you something?
Well, sometimes they do. Sometimes they buy me a book on bows and arrows or something like that. But we've never been... I tell you why I don't like Christmas. It's not that I don't like it. It's that I don't like... First of all, I don't like people who feel that they have for some reason to get absolutely legless. I've never liked staff parties, so I don't go to those. We gave up sending Christmas cards. Thank you very much indeed for yours. I told you not to bother, but thank you anyway. We gave up sending Christmas cards years ago because what happens every year is you get this tatty old bit of paper out with a list and you go through the list. Sometimes you can't even read the addresses. A lot of times you think, why am I still sending a Christmas card to this person? I never spoke to them. And then you go through a list. Some people go through a list of cards saying, oh, well, they didn't send me one last year, so I'm going to knock them off the list. It's just horrendous. And then, of course, they're all the cards you send because you think you should suck up to people who may be able to employ you over the next year. So a number of years ago, Mrs. W and I just thought, enough is enough.
I'm going to send you one next year, even though I know that you're not going to send me one.
Well, that's just because you're aggravating me, isn't it? And then you get all the people, all the religious people, going, oh, this religious has lost all its religious thing. And, you know, it's never been religious to me, even though I was brought up, of course, like everybody else in the local village school. You had carol concerts. Don't get me wrong. I quite like carol concerts. I mean, they're quite fun, and the theatre of going to midnight mass. I mean, there's something about, and I'm staying at home this year, but something about going away, if you can afford it, going away and staying in a hotel over Christmas and letting the hotel do all the business. That's quite fun, quite like that. But it is a celebration. It's the winter celebration of the end of one year and the beginning of the next year. I just wish some people wouldn't behave in such a sort of, I don't know. I find people think that they could behave in an appalling way at Christmas, and it annoys me. Sorry, I might be a Scrooge, but there we are.
I was going to play your Christmas song and everything on this show.
Oh, I think we should do that.
You're not very Christmassy in that either.
I'm not, no. I've never pretended to be. You know, people who get drunk and then they come up and prod you a bit and say, is that in the spirit of Christmas? And you think, oh, slap them and get them out of the way.
That was better than your Santa impression.
What was? The drunk?
Yeah.
I'm actually demonstrating that I am a pretty good actor and am available. I should have done pantomime. I haven't done pantomime for years. Maybe next year.
Who would you play?
Well, I always play the baddie, but my Abenaza has to be seen to be believed.
Is there a recording of that?
I don't know. I shouldn't have think so. It was a theatre production.
Didn't they make a DVD?
I've no idea. No, I don't think. I think back in the mid-90s, did they do DVDs then? No.
Well, VHS then?
No, I don't think we... I don't think anybody filmed it, no.
Oh.
You know, people didn't have little phones they could stick up and phone. Anyway, listen, we digress. Let us continue on with the Christmas show.
Go on, then. Why don't we just, you know, phone random people?
Well, if we phone Tony Tobin, yeah, my mate I go shooting bows and arrows with, who is, of course, a celebrity chef. Well, a sort of celebrity chef. Do you remember Ready, Steady, Cook? He was always on Ready, Steady, Cook. Nice guy. He's a nice guy. He should be on TV more, actually. But don't... Listen, we'll ring him, but don't tell him that. He might get upset.
Okay.
All right, give him a call.
Okay, do that now.
You are listening to James and Rob on the James Webb Radio Show.
Is that the legendary chef Tony Tobin?
Hello, matey.
Why aren't you working at this time?
Do you know, I've just walked in my door. I'm having a little sneaky hour off. I've left a restaurant full of revellers who are having a wonderful time. I've come home for a cup of tea with my wife and I'm going back, 5 o'clock.
Well, that's all right then, as long as you're not neglecting the customers at this time of year.
Absolutely not. Don't you worry about that.
Now, listen, see that you're making my life absolutely hell on the archery field. I feel right. It's only fair I should in some way reciprocate.
Okay.
I think you should promise now in front of all my millions of listeners that you're never going to beat me again.
Well, I can't really promise that unless you up your game, to be honest. You know, you haven't been shooting very well recently.
Yeah, well, at least I don't duck off when I shoot badly halfway through.
Yeah, well, I'll give you that one. But it's not true, but I'll give you that one. As it's Christmas.
Anyway, listen, as this is my Christmas show, ho, 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 I thought it would only fair if you were to give some hints and tips, culinary hints and tips, so that people might have a little better luck with their Christmas fare this year.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Well, tips, I can tell you what I do. I mean, this year I've got 17 people coming.
Yeah.
I'm not unfortunately, but whenever I put an invite out, everyone always says, yes, please. So the numbers kind of grow year by year. But it's Christmas Day is all about preparation. And not being afraid to ask other people for help. So Alex.
Well, that's a good one. So just before we do this, listen. So me and the rest of the Sunday Club, for my listeners, the Sunday Club is our little team of archers who meet most Sunday mornings and play with our bows and arrows. Where did our invitations get to?
Oh, I think they're coming by reindeer, but they're a little bit busy at the moment.
Oh, that's a shame, because I think I had one of them for tea last night in some venison burgers.
You can't say that at this time of year, mate. You'll lose it to your listeners.
Well, venison's very nice meat.
It is very nice meat, very very lean, but not to be eaten at this time of year.
No, okay. All right. Well, I tell you, Mrs. W and I are having pork this year. We're not going to have turkey.
Right.
So I think, the first question before we do anything is, how do you get the best crackling? Because sometimes it's kind of sticky and not very brittle.
Yeah. You see, I'm a big believer. The way I do my crackling is separate to the pork.
What, so cut it off first and cook it separately?
Yeah, before I roast the pork, because it's the skin. The crackling is the skin.
Yeah.
I can do it, but you could ask your butcher to remove the skin for you and trim as much fat off the skin as possible. Then what I do is I then season it with salt and pepper, eat both sides of the skin.
Yeah.
And then I lay it between two sheets of greaseproof paper.
Uh-huh.
And then I wrap that in two sheets of tin foil and seal the edges so it's completely sealed. So, and it's very flat. And then the roasting tray that I roast my pork on, I put another flat baking tray underneath it, and I sit that tin foil with my skin inside it underneath that tray so it stays really flat. And then halfway through the roasting, you take that out, and it's roasted golden brown. It's like crisps. It just cracks.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I might try that. I could skin it myself.
There you go.
Yeah.
We do like that in the restaurant. We cut it into long strips.
Yeah.
And then we put those in because we do chefy things. So then you garnish it with a very long, thin strip of crackling across the top of your pork fillet or something like that. But for home purposes, you can just leave it whole and then just crack it all, break it all up. And if when you open it, be careful because it'd be very hot. When you take it out and you open it, if it's not quite golden enough or crispy enough, just reseal it and put it back underneath the tray. But it normally takes about half the amount of time that the pork takes.
Brilliant, brilliant. Okay, well, that's a good tip. That's an excellent tip. And I'm looking forward to pork because I find turkey dry and rather uninteresting.
Well, you see, that's because it's not cooked by somebody who's had 35 years of experience.
God, dear, oh dear, doesn't Tobin love himself? You should see the tight trousers he wears in the woods.
I love to have turkey at Christmas.
Go on, then.
And so it's with turkey, it is all about the timings of the cooking. And also, we start the bird upside down. And that sounds a little bit weird, but the only fat that a turkey has is around the spine. Okay, so by cooking it upside down, you've got the spine at the top of the bird.
Right.
And so all that fat kind of starts to melt and it renders through into the breast. The juices then stay in the breast. In the last half an hour, you turn the bird up the proper way, remove the foil, get it nice and golden brown, and it should really be cooked at least an hour before you want to carve it. And you just let it sit in the kitchen, covered in foil. It'll stay at a good temperature and it'll carry on cooking to the middle. So the timings, now you can ask your butcher. And there's also an app. If you, anyone with an iPhone or a smartphone out there, if you go into an app store, you Google app for turkey cooking times, and you just put in your weight, and it will tell you how long to cook it for. It's so easy now. There's so much information available. But nice and slowly. Don't try and rush it.
Right, okay. You could cook the sausages wrapped in bacon, my particular favourites. I could eat those without the turkey. You could cook those the day before, couldn't you?
You could cook them the day. There is stuff to do the day before. I wouldn't necessarily cook my sausages the day before because I like them cooked on the day. I think with sausages and bacon, that sort of stuff, fresh is best. All the vegetables can be prepared the day before. Some of them can be cooked the day before, depending on what you have. Let me give you a list of what we have. We have lots of stuff. So roast parsnips, you can actually par roast them, half roast them the day before and chill them. And then what I do is put them back into the oven. Once the turkey's out and it frees it up, it then takes 10 minutes to heat them through with some honey and some black pepper, lots of pepper out of the mill. So they're like black pepper and honeyed. And they take 10 minutes to get nice and golden brown and glazed because you've already pre-cooked them the day before. We've got some people that just like plain vegetables. So carrots and peas, we do a mixture of carrots and peas for the plain ones. And again, I cook my carrots and my peas the day before while I strain them, while they're still hot, put the butter and the salt and pepper on them as if we're about to serve them, then put them into the dish that you're going to serve them with, cover them with cling film, chill them down, and then just microwave them the next day. 5 minutes, they're ready. You're just warming them through. So little tips like that.
Bread sauce. Now, I've always found packets which you put a few extra onions in and a twist of nutmeg in, absolutely fine, because some people who make their bread sauce from scratch, and I've been to places where it's awful.
I know, it can be. And it's that's a great tip, because anything that you use that's dehydrated, so those packet sauces, it's, you know, they've taken the sauce and then they've literally freeze-dried it and powdered it. So to reconstitute that, normally those sauces, you boil a little bit of milk up and add the powder to it, bring it up to the boil, cook it out for a few minutes, and it thickens up. Nothing wrong with that. You can bring the freshness back by adding a bit more bread or some breadcrumbs you know, some nice salt and pepper. And I find finishing it with a little bit of double cream just makes it a little bit richer, and it gives it that fresh taste. If you chop up, even if it's just a normal sliced white bread, if you just chop it into little dice and add it 5 minutes before you serve it, it makes it look like you've made it yourself.
Let's conclude this with a bit of stuffing.
Okay, stuffing, really easy. What I do is I start with a sage and onion-based stuffing mix, Paxo, actually. I don't work for them, but I just happen to be...
No, but I'm going to send them a bill in for some advertising after this.
But so Paxo stuffing, and then boil a kettle. I put a big knob of butter into it, pour some water from the kettle onto it, so I make it up as if it's normal stuffing. Right, then to that, I add some crushed confit chestnuts. You know, the chestnuts that you buy that are cooked, they're vacuum packed. Crush those into it, and then I grate some orange zest, or satsumas, tangerines, whatever you've got around at this time of year. Just the zest from that into that, and then let it all cool down. Then I add some sausage meat, which you can get from the butchers now. They're serving it today. They were doing it in little plastic packs. People were buying loads of it. So put your sausage meat in through it. Obviously, if you're vegetarian, leave it out. But I like to have sausage meat through mine. And then you make it like a putty. And then what I like to do is roll them into balls. And then I start frying them in a pan till they get nice and golden, onto a roasting tray in the oven for 20 minutes. And you've got chestnut and orange stuffing balls, and they look great on the plate next to the turkey.
And you don't stuff it inside the turkey?
No, it's a waste. I always cook my stuffing separately.
Do you ever put anything in the turkey?
No. Pack of butter goes in there, and then so it's, you know, towards the end, you're basting it with lovely nut brown butter.
Yeah. And what about some people stick butter under the skin, between the skin and the meat, before they cook it?
You can do that, but to be honest, it's not absorbed by the meat. It just melts and runs out and ends up in the bottom of the tray. So then you're just basting it over. So you can, but honestly, to me, I think it's a waste of time. But I want to talk to you about sprouts. In my house, the sprouts, we shred them.
That's a good idea, yes.
I cook them in my wok, right, with smoked bacon, the chestnuts that you haven't used in the stuffing, and then soy sauce and sesame oil right at the end. So it's a proper Chinese style, but with chestnuts and smoked bacon. I promise you, even people that come to me and say, I hate sprouts, love my sprouts.
I love sprouts anyway. I mean, as long as they're not boiled to nothing and brown. I like that. I like sprouts. I tell you what, my Indian restaurant up the road after Christmas, obviously they have sprouts left over. They do a sprout bhaji. Delicious.
Wow. Yeah, I think I've heard of that.
We had a shoot the other day, and Tony brought down some mulligatawny soup. That was excellent. Did did nobody know you brought that soup down to the woods?
Well, I told them I was going to make a soup. But with you in mind, I made mulligatawny because I know that you're a big fan of curry.
Yeah, no, it was excellent. But some people I was glad to see said, oh, it's a bit spicy. And I said, yeah, well, only real men can eat this kind of soup.
Did many people drink the mulled wine?
Yeah, I think it was finished. I, of course, don't approve of alcohol with weaponry.
Well, it was supposed to be served after all the weaponry was put back into the boots of everybody's car.
Yes, no, there wasn't enough for all the people who wanted it, of course.
Right, good. Well, it's always nice to leave people wanting, that's what I say.
Because I don't think you made enough soup for 100 and so people anyway.
Well, there was two other people making soup. I just made the soup for the special people.
Yeah, well, the special people enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Well, listen, I'll see you on Sunday, and I'll probably beat you this Sunday. And thank you very much, Jenny, for helping us all out with our Christmas dinner. Right, say goodbye to everybody.
Okay, goodbye, everybody. Have a lovely, lovely Christmas, and I hope the tips have helped you through what will be a very busy day. But don't worry, once you sit down, if you've cooked, the rule is once you sit down to eat, your day is done, and everybody else does the washing up. Just remember that.
Excellent. Thank you, Tony.
Okay, matey. Cheers, James.
Thanks for that. Cheers. Bye. So there we are. That was Tony Tobin. I told you he was a good bloke.
I'm going to use all his tips apart from the sprouts.
Why?
How are you going to get sprouts through a shredder?
No, you just cut them up and they'll shred themselves.
Right.
Listen, this is what you do. You know, sprout is basically a dwarf cabbage, right?
Right.
So cut the little stalk off.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful. And, of course, ask your mummy or daddy to do it for you because knives can be sharp. Cut the stalk off and then chop up the little sprout. They shred themselves, basically. If you cut the stalk off, they shred themselves.
Right. I've never eaten a sprout.
Why not? I love sprouts.
It's green.
I love sprouts. Yeah, I love sprouts. Yeah. Lisa's given me some hints on how to get my crackling crackly.
Yeah, that was a really, really good idea.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to do that, by the way. I think I'm just going to score it, rub a lot of salt in, and then put some pepper on it, and then cover it with some honey.
I think we should do a cookery programme.
Do you think we should?
Yeah, film it.
Well, let's see if we get any response. If anybody wants us to do a cookery programme, get in touch. Oh, don't forget, listen, just before we do anything else, don't forget, of course, click on our Love Film banner, our sponsors for the programme. You can download a whole month of free movies. Do it now. Follow the links, download it. You get a month free from Love Film. And that means you can download all the movies free over Christmas.
If there's one thing I hate about Christmas, it's all those horrible songs. Well, if you can't beat them, join them. Would everyone sing along? Here we go. Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas with bells on. I said, ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas with bells on. I'm peeling sprouts and washing up, a drinking beer and chunking up, a quick snog under the mistletoe.
Look out, here comes Nan.
Oh, God, blimey, oh no, here we go. Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas with bells on. I say, ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas with bells on. The turkey's in the oven. Forgot to turn it on. The usual rubbish on the TV. That's why we're singing this song.
Jingle jingle, jingle ding dong. Merry Christmas, the bells on. A Merry Christmas, the bells on. A Merry Christmas, the bells on.
I said,
ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas, the bells on.
It's party time, let's have some fun. Will everybody sing along? Stuff the turkey, put a cracker
my last Christmas. Spent it on my own. All I got was polka dot white fronts and a cover for me mobile phone
from the Bound Shop.
Jingle ding dong, Merry Christmas. The bells on, a Merry Christmas. The bells on, Merry Christmas. The bells on, I said.
Dooby dooby doo. Eamon?
Hello.
Hi, Eamon, it's James. Can you hear me?
Yes, my friend. Yes, 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 I can hear you. Loud and clear okay. Now, yeah.
Are you in a car going somewhere?
No.
Oh, right. Do you got a couple of minutes to do a chat for my my Christmas show?
No, because I am unloading a removal lorry. I'm at the site of... a container depot, basically, is where I am picking some furniture out. So we're having to load it up and select it. So now wouldn't be right, no.
Well, that's all right. Listen, wish everybody a happy Christmas. I'll stick that in, and I'll talk to you soon.
What do you mean you'll stick that in?
Well, I'm on the air now, so you could just say Merry Christmas to everybody, and then that'll be it.
Ho, ho, ho. You're not
you could
on
do
air,
better than that. What?
You're not on air.
No, I'm not on air. But you could just wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and then I'll drop that into the program.
Oh, I'm with you, right.
Okay.
Hello there. This is Eamon Holmes on the James Whale Show. Have a happy Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. Right.
If you told me you were doing manual work, I'd come and help you.
I am. Oh, if only. Hello, everyone. I hope you've been good little boys and girls, and that Santa will be good to you. This is Eamon Holmes on the James Whale Show. Have a great Christmas and New Year. Ho, ho, ho.
All right, you're trying to take my job away from me. Stop it.
Okay. Right. If you need me, I should be about after 5 o'clock or something, if you want to phone me then.
All right, mate. If I can, I will. Okay. If not, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, cheers, mate. Thanks, mate.
Now, it's always nice to have people on the phone, and Eamon was no exception. Except he sounded a bit busy. I don't like to think of Eamon working that hard without help, you know.
Off you go, then.
Well, no, I haven't got time. I'm busy.
Oh.
I'm busy because I have to now sing a Christmassy song to get everybody listening into the Christmas mood.
Not with your song, you won't.
Why not?
Well, it's more anti-Christmas, isn't it?
No, of course not.
Are you sure?
I mean, this is... Yeah. Wrap it up for Christmas. What could be more Christmassy than wrapping up Christmas? Here it is.
Listen up, lend me your ears. It's the holly and the ivy time of year. Nice and peaceful in the studio till a bunch of carol singers try to get on the show. Merry gentlemen, cut the ding-dong, and I'll teach you the words of a different song. Christmas is crackers, it's just a promotion. Rudolph and Santa can jump in the ocean.
Christmas is fun and happy and funny.
It's just an excuse to part me from the money. You won't catch me giving Christmas cheer. Now sing the song.
Okay.
Let's hear it. Drinking in a circus on the telly. On Boxing Day, have the relatives round. Have a family fight that goes 10 rounds. I won't have a stocking or a Christmas box. I won't have a crib with an ass and an ox. I'm not gonna drink from your wassailing cup. Knock it off, pack it in, and wrap it up. Well, I've done the show and I'm home to bed. There's a guy standing there with a candle on his head.
I am the ghost of Christmas past. Tremble, James Webb, and look afar.
I said, sling it, mate, I'll change the locks. And I don't think much of your taste in drugs. I see you brought a friend. Is it Cousin Ebenezer? This is not a public thoroughfare. Who's this geezer?
Wrap it up for Christmas, Johnny with a bun. Wailing's on
yet to come, but I am the spirit of Christmas on the run. Right, that settled his hash. Okay, what's next? Oh, yes. I think I've had enough of you lot as well. There's too much festivity going on. There's too much singing about fun, if you ask me. Well, I've got a message for you. Fun is over. Christmas is cancelled. Got it? Didn't you? Expected me to mend my ways. Come on, all sweetness and light. Well, no chance, squire. I am meaner than ever. So on your way. TTMN, cheerio, bye-bye. Safe journey home in short. Nick off. And you, white, golden puzzle.
See? Scrooge. Scroogey Whale. That's you.
Oh, shut up. That was fine. That was fine.
Who have we got next, James? Who can we call?
Well, listen, I tell you what, a lady that I have known for years and years and years, and she's been in the news a bit this year, not always for the best reasons, and that's Linda Nolan. In fact, Linda Nolan was on my television show back in the 90s quite regularly, and I think it'd be quite nice to have a chat with Linda. Christmas, she loves Christmas, and she'll probably be in Blackpool. So why don't we give Linda a ring and have a chat with her?
Okay, I'll do that now.
Hello?
Hi, Linda. It's Rob from the James Whale Radio Show.
Oh, hi, Rob. How are you?
Not too bad. I'm going to put you through now.
Hi, James.
Linda, how are you?
I'm absolutely stressed to hell, James. I'm out Christmas shopping with everybody in the world.
What, all your sisters?
Well, no, I mean, I'm shopping for everybody in the world, but it's just packed.
Don't buy me anything this year, Linda, because I haven't bought you anything.
Oh, no, James, not again. Well, I'm sorry, mine is already in the post on its way to you.
Oh, now I'm feeling bad again. That's the trouble.
Just get them to drive it back. It's okay.
How are you, anyway? Because we haven't spoken for ages, and every time I see another tragedy has beset you, I feel so bad I haven't called you.
I know, it's been a hard year. We're hoping for a better year next year, you know.
You know, you've had no luck for a couple of years, babe, have you?
No. You know, but luckily we have a strong family and we're going to get through it. Bernie's husband and daughter Erin are coming to Blackpool to spend Christmas with us. We're going to do our best to have a nice time because Bernie loved Christmas, so...
Great.
We've got to do our best, yeah.
Are you not working this Christmas?
No. I do mostly charity stuff at the moment, and I actually foster babies now.
You don't?
I do. I've been
you foster babies?
Able and everything. It didn't even cost me money.
This is not the Linda Nolan that used to appear regularly on my television show and get blokes getting very flustered all the time.
Well, do you know what? Out of all the TV shows that I've ever done, James, that's the one that most people remember.
I'm sorry.
Get so many compliments about it. I saw a piece on that Twitter the other day where I sang at Christmas with what's his name? Bernard Manning. We sang Christmas songs.
Oh, yes. And that's still going around and doing, yes. I'll have to see if I can find it and play it on the
so
show.
So popular.
You know, those,
it's obviously
do you know
you,
that's
James,
over 20
that they
want to
see, not me.
Over 20 years ago, we did that.
Oh, don't. I know. We were both in our teens.
I had a full head of hair.
Well, yeah, but you look very distinguished now without. Or head, whichever you prefer.
Ah, dear. I'll tell you what, it's funny
so what
when we look back
Christmas?
At our lives since then, eh?
Oh, pardon?
I said it's very strange when you look back at our lives since then.
Absolutely, I know, but they were good days, weren't they?
They were, and you know, I'm a great believer in that everything happens for a reason, and you have your life to live, and you have to live it to the full, and you have to try and get the most out of every day.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely, and you know, particularly when you've been through what we've been through this particular year with losing Bernie, you know, we're so aware of spending as much time as we can with the people that we love and letting them know that we love them, and you know, because all of a sudden it can be gone in a heartbeat and it's too late.
Yep. Are you going to get together with some of your sisters and do some more singing apart from charity or not?
Well, never say never. We're just, taking our time. We were supposed to be touring at the beginning of the year, but of course Bernie was took a turn for the worse. And we would never have done it without her then. But, never say never. Maybe next year, the year after, we might, And of course, I think we'd have to include Bernie in the show somehow. So,
You've got so much
footage of
her. That would be easy to do.
We're just kind of taking it one day at a time.
I saw a documentary on the Nolans not long ago. I'm sure you're aware of the one I'm talking about.
Which one? The one when we did the reunion for the last tour?
Yeah. And I'd forgotten, and even back when you were guesting on my TV show, I'd forgotten how big the Nolans were when you first started.
I know. It was amazing. We had such a great career. We've had great fans, and I think our fans have stuck with us because we, when we first started, of course, we were doing all of those variety shows that were on TV, the two Ronnies, Morecambe and Wise Christmas Special, Mike Yarwood, Les Dawson, and people kind of grew up with us. And so when we did the reunion tour in 2009, it was amazing that we had, mothers with their children and some with their grandchildren,
I know. And sometimes you don't even realize, do you, when you're actually living through those times, just how special they are?
Absolutely not. I mean, when we went to Japan in 1981, 82, at the time, we'd sold more records than the Beatles over there. Mm. And it was unbelievable. We got to the airport. We had to have security to get us out. We did two shows at the Budokan, which holds 10,000. It's a 10,000 stadium at the time. And it was just our tour sold out in 3 hours. And it was just unbelievable. And at the time, like you say, you're thinking, oh, I can't bear it. I want to be able to go to the shops. I want to be able to do this. And yet when we came back home and looked back on it, it was like everything, if you're in this business, that you want it to be.
Yeah. And let that be a warning to those people who think that that's what they want. As soon as it happens, embrace it rather than thinking, I wonder how long I can keep
this going. Enjoy it for what it is, because it won't last forever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing I think that people have to understand as well is that it's not really reality. People think it is. It isn't a reality.
It's really weird because, we do things like that, and then we go shopping in Sainsbury's and people look at us as if we're, oh my God, I thought you'd have someone to do your shopping for you, or, it's like that's reality. What we do is it's just a gift, and that we are very, I suppose without sounding too cheesy, but we're very blessed that we can, do what we love doing and earn a living from it.
Why have you stayed in Blackpool? People. Why have you never moved from Blackpool?
Well, we did. We moved to London. We came to Blackpool in 1964 from Dublin.
Yep.
Then we moved to London in 1974 because of work. And then I had a show in Blackpool, Maggie Mae's on Central Pier. And I did
that
for 10
years. And you're not doing that anymore.
And so it was easier to live in Blackpool because the summer season in Blackpool is 6 months because of the illumination. So rather than running two houses, we just moved back to the friendly north.
You're not doing Maggie Mae anymore?
Oh, God, no. Maggie Mae finished in 1996. I did it for 10 years, and it was fabulous, but things move on, and, and people still talk about it, especially particularly in Blackpool, obviously, but they still talk about it. But it was a great time. It really was. And then I moved on, to doing musical theatre. I did Blood Brothers, and I did that for 8 years.
I saw Bernie
and did 2 years in the West End, and then... then I went on tour with it, and then of course when my husband got ill and he passed away, I just found it too difficult to go back touring really. So that's when I kind of took a back seat a little bit until our reunion tour in 2009, which was amazing. I absolutely loved it.
Well, you've got to do some more, and in this next year we're going to have to get together because we haven't sat down and had a drink for ages and ages. So let's make it something we should do.
I promise to you that when we decide that we will do something else, I will give you a ring and let you know so we can have a chat about it.
All right, sweetie. And I'll come along and introduce you.
Brilliant. All right, then. We'll hope to that.
All right. Listen, you have a really good Christmas. And
and
don't forget, I love stuff from TK Maxx.
I went straight to Chanel and Boss for you. There was no second-hand labels for me. You only deserve the best.
Merry Christmas. And listen, I wish you all the best for 2014. I hope it's a stonking great year for you.
Oh, thanks, James. It's great to talk to you. You have a lovely time as well.
And you, sweetheart. Take it easy.
Okay. Bye.
Now, as mentioned by Linda, here's the clip of her and the legendary Bernard Manning. Bernard, I always thought, was very misunderstood by a lot of people. I knew Bernard very well. He appeared on the show like Linda quite regularly. He was a very funny man. He wasn't a racist bigot like a lot of people thought he was. He was a really nice guy who was funny and probably would go down very well today with the new bunch of stand-up comics. And I think one thing a lot of people didn't know about Bernard is that he was a fantastic singer. He was a singer with a dance band back in the 50s, long before he became a comedian. And so, together, Linda Nolan and Bernard Manning singing Winter Wonderland.
Are you listening? Down the lane, snow is glistening, a beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland. In a meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plans that we made, walking in a winter wonderland. Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
With every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright.
I think we should wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, a great 2014. Ask everybody to tell their friends to follow us here, of course, at thejameswellradioshow.co.uk. Thank all our sponsors, of course, like Love Film for sticking with us, and also all those radio stations, too numerous to mention here, but we will, of course, mention them from time to time. Audio Boo, who put this program out, talentgb.com, and all the people from there, and apologize profusely that I haven't sent everybody Christmas cards.
That's okay. I forgive you.
Thank you very much indeed. So we wish you all a great Christmas. Tell your friends about us and join us in 2014.
James Webb.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadioShow or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.